Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from our Old Testament reading in Isaiah, especially this part, "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me." Dear friends in Christ, the winter of 1925 was a terrifying time for the residents of Nome, Alaska. After treating four cases of what appeared to be tonsillitis, there was only one doctor in town. His name was Dr. Curtis Welch, and he came to a horrifying diagnosis, a horrifying conclusion. The extremely contagious diphtheria, this is 1925, diphtheria had been confirmed. And without an antitoxin, the whole town was doomed. 2,000 people and their surrounding native neighbors would likely be lost as a result. And the problem, of course, was magnified by the fact that the shipping ports had all been closed for the season, and aircraft travel was impossible. And worse, of course, the diphtheria antitoxin could only last 6 days in the freezing temperatures, below freezing temperatures. The closest source of the drug was in Anchorage, Alaska, 1,000 miles away. The Alaskan Railroad could actually bring the drug to Nenana, but Nome was still 675 miles away from there. And so the decision was made. The only way to save the residents was to deliver that serum by dog sled. Dog sled. They set up a relay of 20 teams, and each team would travel approximately 30 miles. When they started, it was minus 40 degrees. The first dog sledder, Wild Bill Shannon, left Nenana and his life-bringing 30-pound package of the serum. Let's face it, for even the most experienced dog sledder at that time, 40 degrees below zero is brutal and risky. But with so many lives that were on the line, Wild Bill had no choice. He set his face to the wind, and he peered into the bleak darkness ahead, breaking the silence of the cold, crisp night. The cracking of his whip sounded like a lightning strike. As he cried, "Mush!" the clock was running. For all of us, there are times in our lives when the path ahead looks very dark, very difficult. There are times when we're unsure about what direction we should take or whether we should take any direction at all. Now, we might not be called on to bring life-saving antitoxins in minus 40-degree weather to a village in Alaska, but we are called into the darkness. And the darkness can be frightening. Whenever these moments occur, where do we find the strength to move forward? Well, our reading today is going to shed a little bit of light on this. See, our lesson from today, as I said before, is from Isaiah chapter 50. It's the third of what we call the servant songs in Isaiah. And there's always the debate, as I said before, as to whether the servant is Israel, Isaiah, or the Messiah. But as Christians, we hear the witness of the texts themselves. We understand that each of these songs paints a picture of the servant. And with each successive song, we become more and more convinced that the servant is Jesus, the promised Messiah, who actually came into the world to redeem this world, our world. Now, listen just a minute to the depiction of the servant in the song. In verses 4 through 4, in the beginning of 5, the servant is somebody who sustains the weary and who listens. And then in verse 5, he's not been rebellious and he doesn't turn away. Verse 6, of course, offers that stark description of some of the sufferings that Jesus suffered. He offers his back and his cheeks to blows. He doesn't hide his face from the mocking and the spitting. This is definitely a picture of Jesus, who was beaten, mocked, spit upon, and through it all did not hide his face or turn away. And what does this servant do in the middle of all of these obstacles? Well, in verse 7 it tells us, he sets his face like a flint and is not put to shame. This is, of course, the picture of Jesus facing Satan there in the wilderness and all the temptation. It's a picture of Jesus in the days leading up to Holy Week, where he sets his face towards Jerusalem. It's Jesus praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that the cup would pass. Of course, after that night of praying and of sweating blood, Jesus gets up and he looks into the darkness and he cries out, "Not my will, but yours be done." He sets his face like a flint. You see, there's times in our lives and in our paths when our paths ahead might be dark. We're all familiar with these times. Maybe it's when a series of tests have taken place and the diagnosis isn't all that good. Or maybe it's a pink slip at the end of the workday. Or maybe it's more common and mundane. There's so much to do and we aren't sure where to start. In each case, we're similar to the servant. We're kind of like him. The world is beating us on the back, pulling at our cheeks, mocking at us, and spitting at us. And all of this reflects the human heart after the fall. In response, our own sinful nature will at times bring doubt and fears into our lives, wondering whether God really cares, wondering whether God is there at all in the midst of our suffering. Well, the Stoics might have had an answer. They would tell us basically to endure. Just endure. Marcus Aurelius, one of the most famous Stoics, once said, "Everything that happens is either endurable or not. If it's endurable, then endure it. If it's unendurable, then stop complaining. Your destruction will mean its end as well." In other words, just buck up. Maybe the Epicureans had the right idea. They could shed some light. They'd encourage you, well, don't get too attached to anything in this world because someday it'll all be gone. Just live for today. Live for today. But of course, you and I know that that offers no hope at all, because a life without attachment doesn't bring any joy into that life. Sadly, many Christians will tell you that the answer is simply to pray harder or trust harder. They'll say that if we can just find more strength internally, we can get through whatever struggles we face, no matter whether it's insurmountable odds or not. Well, the servant here has a different answer. The key is there in verse 8. It's here that the servant says, "He who vindicates me is near." We've already established that the servant is Jesus. Here's the question: why does he need vindication? I mean, why is it important that the one who vindicates is near? Well, let's face it, for his own sake, Jesus doesn't need vindication. His standing before the Heavenly Father is always secure. But for our sakes, for your sake and for mine, when bleak times are ahead, it's important for us to find two things in God's vindication of Jesus. First, we should understand that the root cause of all of our doubt is separation from God, that separation that happened after the fall. There was a time when we walked with God in the cool of the day, when we had no worries or concerns because God was walking right beside us every step of the way. We knew that we were his beloved. But when sin entered into the world, we broke that relationship with God. And now we doubt whether God really cares. We doubt whether God really does walk with us. So that separation from God is precisely what Jesus took upon himself on the cross when he cried out from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But secondly, we should always remember that God sent the servant into the world to provide vindication for his beloved, to give us that vindication. Jesus was fully human, fully divine, but even he relied on the promises of God's word. When he was confronting Satan in the wilderness, there was temptation. Before heading to Jerusalem, he must have paused. And in that night in the garden, he cried out to God to take this cup away from him. But God, who vindicates, was near. And Jesus set his face like a flint, and he headed to Calvary. And there, by his death, he reconciled you and me to God. He restored that relationship that we had broken. So now God is with us. He absolutely is with us. He is walking with us once again. As I told the children earlier, even though we don't see him, even though it feels like he's not there, he is there. He is always near to us. You see, the cure for the dark times is to remember that this same Jesus, the servant, has already walked before you. The one who needed no vindication at all, nevertheless trusted his Father to do just that, to vindicate him, to declare him the very Son of God by raising him from the dead. You see, Christ, obeying his Father perfectly, dying in our place, rising from the grave, has done everything. There's nothing that you or I can do. We don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. And now, you and I, we can trust those same promises of God that Jesus trusted, that in his time, God will vindicate us. God will declare for all to hear that you are his beloved children, that we are his beloved children. So when the guilt of sin is overwhelming, remember that he who vindicates you is near. When the diagnosis isn't what we've hoped for, remember that he who vindicates you is near. When the pink slip arrives or the work ahead seems daunting, remember he who vindicates is near. God who vindicates us is near. Always. Now I know you want to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. It was actually 2:00 in the morning when the last dog sledder, Gunnar Kassen, and his team arrived in Nome. After the work of 20 dog sled teams, 5 grueling days, and 675 miles, those antitoxins arrived in the hands of the doctor. The town was saved. But of course, it wasn't without a cost. Some of the dogs had died along the road, and a few of the dog sledders had severe frostbite. Today, there's a race, a dog sled race, in its honor. The annual Iditarod race is performed to commemorate the accomplishments of that feat back in 1925. And now you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But for Christians, our victory happened when the servant broke through death and won eternal victory. Even in our sins, even in our doubts, and the very real troubles, the very present troubles that we have in this world, He has vindicated us, and He is near. As Jesus said, He is with us always to the very end of the age. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.